what does Easter have to do with God, Christ, and the Bible? Today we discuss that, the origins, and how it became celebrated and associated with Christ.
Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego. Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Messiah ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies of April. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado? Or better yet, the lava from the volcano. They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath. Or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Fuego. Fuego. Sister, you don't want that fuego.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, Most High in Christ bless, Officer Amariah.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Soldier Zacchaeus.
Soldier Zacchaeus in the house.
In the building.
The studious one.
Hey.
I know. That's a good brother right there, man. I like him. Not just because he's short. Hey, so like I was saying in the beginning, man, I'll be watching a little bit of... I think that's probably the only reason, because I don't really have a lot of time to watch a lot of videos and stuff. That's the only reason. I always watch like the first like 5 minutes of Officer Ozma and Officer Simon Judah up in Colorado. Bro, because they got like this little thing that they do together.
I'm going to check it out now.
Bro, and it's like it's funny because it's not premeditated, but it looks like one of those things that kind of grew organically. Mm-hmm. And so now it is kind of like a little routine that they do, but it's... It didn't start from that. It's just kind of the way they are. Because, you know, they're funny, bro. I love hanging out with them brothers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're a trip. I'm looking forward to seeing them again soon. But I'm saying we should do a little something like that, like have our own type of little shtick.
It's definitely organic. I'm going to check it out, though. Bro, for sure.
You got to watch at least, like, the first 5 minutes is worth, like, tuning in, bro. I mean, you know, the brothers are good. They're strong in the spirit and they're teaching and everything, but... just for kicks, bro. Like, I always watch, like, if I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, they taught. Let me watch the first 5 minutes. Oh, man. I love them, brothers. Shalom, brothers, if you happen to catch this, all right? Let me, because we got to monitor the comments. All right. Let me mute that and see. All right. So I'm going to try to multitask here. Shalom, family, who's tuned in on Facebook Live. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com/IUIC Phoenix, Facebook at the 144K Lost Show, at the 144K Lost, okay? Right? Or is it the Lost 14? The Lost 144K, yeah. We were trying to pick different names for it, and like some were taken, actually. So
yeah?
Yeah, so that was the variation they allowed us to
have. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? So, yes, we are here on another Blessed Sabbath on the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Taking a little bit of a break in dealing with the lies and hypocrisy of Christianity from the perspective of denominations, but we're still going to deal with some lies and hypocrisy, just something that's across the board with Christianity as a religion, Easter. I almost forgot it was here. Hey, it's funny because even the blog talk thing, it says, in observance to the holiday, support will be closed on March 30th and open up Monday, April 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah. So Easter has many different names. Why does it keep popping up? I closed it. It's telling me that it's okay. Easter has many different names. We're going to talk about what does Easter have to do with God, Christ, and the Bible. All right. Because, you know, It's not just something that's celebrated by Christianity, but why, what their rationale is. And I'm going to save that for the class a little bit today. You know, maybe we're going to wet people's palate a little bit when I say this. But in short, Easter is celebrated because of, in their minds, that's when the day Christ rose. But when you have your biblical understanding of the scriptures, you understand that he did not rise on Sunday morning like that. And by their account, it's supposed to be 3 days and three nights. He was only in the ground like 2 days, right?
It was like 1 day and two nights.
1 day and two nights, yeah. Based on how they do it.
Right.
Christ did not rise on Easter Sunday, okay? Did not rise on a Sunday, actually. It was actually the evening, all right? And it was a Sabbath.
That's right.
But that's going to be a little bit outside of the scope of this show, but I am, Lord's will, going to talk about a little bit in our class today here in ISA Phoenix. Just briefly, I'm not even going to go into great detail on it. I have some visuals today to work on, so make sure we're set up with that. But, so the origins of Easter. So we'll talk about that. I got some good articles here, and I'm sure the brothers with me got some good feedback to jump into that. For some housekeeping, call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. Also, if you want to get more lessons, more understanding, visit us at www.israelunite.org. That's israelunite.org. And all the different basic fundamentals, basic questions that you might have can be answered there, as well as links to videos and classroom teachings, etc. For all your Israelite apparel, you can go to www.originalroyalty.com. So originalroyalty.com. Got some great things on that website as well. So I'm going to go ahead and post some links. MRI, if you want to kind of just lead into the discussion a little bit.
Yeah,
I do have a great article I want to read. So, you know, if you're going to go into anything, don't make it too long.
I just want to bring out this scripture real quick. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 12 and we'll start at verse 28, and then we'll read on down to 32. I just want to bring this out. As Captain posed the question, what does Easter have to do with God, Christ, and the Bible? And the truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with God, Christ, and the Bible.
Sorry.
Our people have always had the lust to follow after the other nations. That's always been our downfall. And as we wake up to that we are the 12 tribes of Israel, come back observing the laws, then there are things that we have to forsake, which are these pagan holidays, so on and so forth. But let's start with that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God.
So the things that were meant to be good and right in the sight of the Lord our God was his laws, statutes, and commandments. Following things like Easter, Christmas, birthdays, that all falls into idolatry. That's why he says that I am the Lord your God, and before me shall have nobody else. Read on.
Verse 29. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their hand.
So remember, this is when we came out of Egypt, when we served in bondage out of Egypt. We came out through the Spirit of the Lord, worked through Moses. He saved us from Egypt. We went and we took the land from the different nations. Read on.
Take heed to thyself.
That's he says, take heed. He's giving us a warning. Take heed to thyself. Read.
That thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from thee, from before thee. And that thou inquire. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing.
Okay, no worries. It says, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. All right. Don't be trapped in following the customs of the other nations, the heathen. It says, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods. But what have we done? We have turned away from the Lord God of Israel, and we've gone after their gods. All right. We're going to dive into some more stuff. I'm sure Captain has some great articles that Easter is after another god. It says, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? So Even so will I do likewise. That's what we said, right? Mm-hmm. We said, how do these nations serve these things? I'm going to do the same thing. Now, it's not so blatant now. Now it's been disguised as Easter, and it's for the kids, and we have Easter egg hunts, and we color them different colors, right, and everything else. So now it's meant to be harmless, but really it all goes back to idolatry. It says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire of their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. So it's an abomination to do anything outside of what the Lord our God commanded us to do. And the high holy days that we are meant to keep are found in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. You never read about the celebration of Easter bunnies and eggs and so on and so forth. That's all pagan worship.
Whatever name it is.
Exactly. Whatever name
right,
it is.
Right, right. Whatever name it is. No, and then I've heard things like, you know, I was going to read it, but for the interest of time, I'm not. But there is an article I found, like, in defense of the Easter, and he's trying to say, like, you know, no, it's not. It's wrong in that your people say that it's pagan. It's not. Like, he cuts himself in the own article is the point I'm really trying to make. So, but let me go ahead and pull up the article that I want to go into. And I'll start with that. So, first I'm going to start with, this was posted in theguardian.com, so it's like a news site. It's a credible news site. Mm-hmm. And then I have like a page that's like dedicated to research to it, so you understand. It says the pagan roots of Easter, from Ishtar to Eostre. The roots of the resurrection story go deep. We should embrace the pagan symbolism of Easter. So she sounds like she's really into this aspect of it, which is good because that means she's not going to try to sugarcoat it like this other site that I had read with this guy. Yo, this chair is like really bothering me.
Switch.
Nah, man, I'm going to try to make it work. I should have done it before we started, but I didn't notice it till right when we started. Anyway, so it says Easter is a pagan festival. If Easter isn't really about Jesus, then what is it really about? Today we see a secular culture celebrating the spring equinox, whilst religious culture celebrates the resurrection. So we're basically, like, the crux of this whole thing is that Christianity will try to say, well, we're not celebrating it for that, so it's not the same thing. Just like they would defend Christmas and its original origins and stuff, right? So it says, however, early Christianity made a pragmatic acceptance of ancient pagan practices. This is well known and something that they try to not bring to light. They try to cover it up. But most of the Christian holidays originated in pagan holidays and they adopted them. And when you read about the Sabbath, that's a big we did it a few weeks back. It talks about, you know, the Sabbath was a celebrate. Sunday was the changing of the Sabbath to Sunday was in honor of celebrating and honoring the sun god. Mm-hmm. And they realized, listen, we have a whole bunch of pagans, but we also have a whole bunch of Christians. So long story short, it was like a political move, and they put it together to honor Sunday as the new Sabbath. Now, that's the first issue with Christianity in general, how they have Sunday as the Sabbath. But it's well documented that things like Christmas, Easter, other holidays, early Christianity made this acceptance of ancient pagan practices, most of which we enjoy today at Easter. The general symbolic story of the death of the sun, and then she puts in parentheses, S-U-O-N, on a cross, the constellation of the Southern Cross, and his rebirth, overcoming the powers of darkness, was a well-worn story in the ancient world. There were plenty of parallel rival resurrected saviors, too. The Sumerian goddess Inanna, or Ishtar, was hung naked on a stake and was subsequently resurrected and ascended from the underworld. One of the oldest resurrection myths is Egyptian Horus. And they try to, you have people who are detractors of the Bible that try to say the Bible copies these ancient myths. Mm-hmm. But what they're not accepting is that this is such a fundamental issue that most people have. First of all, they go by Esau's science and how they date the Bible. And then what you have to understand is while certain scrolls, and we accredit the writing of it to Moses' time, what you don't understand is that while it may have been written in the time of Moses, and they approximate when that was,
mm-hmm.
it still covers from the beginning.
Right.
So the time it was written, so they're basically saying, oh, it was stolen because it was the time that it was written around at that time, when in Moses' time. But not understanding that it's the history from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's before these civilizations and these powers came to be. So it's not a copy, mm-hmm. right? It's just other religions having something similar. And if you look at it, if you really break it down, it's not actually really similar at all.
No, it really isn't.
No. The only similarity is that they have somebody that rose from the dead.
That's it.
That's the only part that's similar in any way.
And they try to connect the dots.
And they try to connect it and say that. All right. I mean, heck, then, you know, like freaking cartoons I used to watch. You know, I remember when Optimus Prime came back to life in Transformers. So what, thousands of years from now, we're going to say it came from the story of Optimus Prime? I mean, what the hell is this? Anyway, so born on 25 December, Horus and his damaged eye became symbols of life and rebirth. Mithras was born on what we now call Christmas Day, and his followers celebrated the spring equinox. Even as late as the 4th century AD, the Sol Invictus, associated with Mithras, was the last great pagan cult the church had to overcome. Sol Invictus means the unconquerable sun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. It was the last great pagan cult the church had to overcome. Dionysus was a divine child, resurrected by his grandmother. Dionysus also brought his mom, Semele, back to life. In an ironic twist, the Cybele cult flourished on today's Vatican Hill. Cybele's lover, Attis, was born of a virgin, died, and was reborn annually. Well, first off, that's the other part where they try to say, oh, it was born of a virgin. When you have the proper understanding in the scripture, Christ was not born of a virgin.
Uh-oh.
All right.
The bomb drop.
Give the phone number again.
Yeah.
And there's the bomb drop.
He said, "Give the phone number again. People are gonna call in, right?"
There
I know. I should have put the bomb drop, right? I don't know. Wait. I'm late. I gotta do it. Wait. Hold on. Wait. Bomb blast.
There it is.
Christ was not born of a virgin.
Boom.
I got to get better sounds, bro, like that come in quicker, all right? Christ was not born of a virgin, so that messes up their whole trying to connect it together anyway, right? This spring festival began as a day of blood on Black Friday, rising to crescendo after 3 days, and rejoicing over the resurrection. There was violent conflict on Vatican Hill in the early days of Christianity between the Jesus worshipers and pagans who quarreled over whose God was the true and whose the imitation. What is interesting to note here is that in the ancient world, wherever you had popular resurrected God myths, Christianity found lots of converts. So eventually, Christianity came to an accommodation with the pagan spring festival. Although we see no celebration of Easter in the New Testament, right? So that's a part that we're going to jump on as well.
Right.
Easter is referred to one time in the Bible, and it's not really Easter. It's referring to Passover. All right. In the book of Acts, and we'll talk about that also. So it says, so eventually Christianity came to an accommodation with the pagan spring festival. Although we see no celebration of Easter in the New Testament, early church fathers celebrated it. And today many churches are offering sunrise services at Easter, an obvious pagan solar celebration.
Bro. Issachar was like telling me about how they would meet up at CCV on Easter Sunday morning. They'd get there real early, be like cold, people were in their blankets, to literally just watch the sunrise.
Right.
And then it'd be like, oh, you know, everyone's feeling good because everyone's thinking that's when Christ rose and everything else and resurrected. And I was like, that's a dot you can connect right there. Right. I'm like, really? I'm like, and he's like, bro, that's just how it is. You know, it's just, that's Christianity for you. I was like, my goodness.
The date of Easter is not fixed, but instead is governed by the phases of the moon. How pagan is that? Well, you know, she goes into paganism. Actually, how Hebrew is that?
Right. I was saying,
How accurate is that, actually?
How Hebrew is that? And it's funny because they celebrate everything else based on the solar calendar, but they all acknowledge and do Easter because that's the only way they count it is based on the moon.
You know what? I did not know that.
Well, I'll explain in another article. It breaks down how it was celebrated, right? So it says, all the fun things about Easter are pagan. Bunnies are left over from the pagan festival of Eostre, a great northern goddess whose symbol was a rabbit or hare. So let's read about her really quickly, all right? I have a little something about her. Hang on. I got to look this up. I was saving my links. Here we go. Okay. And it's funny, this blew my mind because I have remember learning about this. And then when I was watching that show, American Gods, mm-hmm. one of the major players in that show, she comes in later in the season, is this god, the god of Easter. And they have the bunnies all around. And so she has like a party and people are there. And they don't realize that they're there. They have like... Caesar Borgia is all over the place,
mm-hmm.
right? But they also have like a Moab Jesus. They have like a Mexican Jesus. And then they have one they call Jesus Prime, which is the typical what you would think of when you watch like, you know, Passion of the Christ or
right.
anything like that. And he looks like that. But all these bunnies around the house and all these people are there celebrating her. And there's like different gods and lesser gods from other people's cultures and stuff. And they're all there having this big festival. And they think it's there for Christ, that it's Easter Sunday for Christ. And she comes out and basically towards the end when one of the guys reveals himself, they have the new gods, which are things like media, like consumerism. I forgot what it's called. So you have media, you have technology boy, because those things are people are kind of – they're addictive, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're glued to our phones. We're glued to those things. And to some people, that could become idolatry. There's another one that he's supposed to symbolize, like, trade and commerce and, like, things in the world and stuff like that. And in the show, they symbolize that they're the modern gods.
They have a Bitcoin god?
They have a Bitcoin god, Ripple.
Oh, man.
Right? Because of the amount of attention, like, these things demand, right? Anyway, so in the reveal, they're talking to her. Media is talking to her. Like there's a physical embodiment of media, and she's saying. And I've spoken about this before, but it's like real appropriate because we're talking about Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's there, and like Easter's like, you know, I'm tired of like, you know, us being in service to you new gods or whatever. You know, I'm an ancient god. You know, I'm Ostara. All right, is another way that they say it. She goes, I'm Ostara, and she talks about it. She was like, well, listen, you made your deal, and the reason you still – because the reason they have power is they have to be worshipped, right? Mm-hmm. Which you know, they manifest that on screen, but that statement is actually pretty bold. The things don't have power if you don't give them the attention
right
that they require. It fades away from memory. So anyway, Ostara's there, and she's complaining, and she's like, listen, you made your deal. She was like, you know, you're doing really well. And she was like, you know, it's because basically we've made it a Hallmark holiday. And although people don't realize that they're celebrating it for you, you're still the thing that gets power from it.
Right.
So they were there for the fake Jesuses, the bunnies were around or whatever, but she was thriving. Because the show throughout the season shows you there's other gods that are struggling to still get attention, to still get worship. So like... I don't know. I think they have Vulcan, so he's the god of like weapons and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he lives in a town where you have a bunch of gun nuts, like they're all like
wow.
into guns and stuff like that, right? And I'm not gonna get in and open that topic, you know. I mean, I'm for whatever the Lord has in store, you know. So if he puts gun restriction, and he puts gun restriction. If he puts
right.
no gun restriction, and he puts no gun restriction, I'm not gonna go one way or the other. But it was funny because the town was like really like it wasn't like you know. You could tell, like, the people were weird. Like, there's one thing from someone who owns a gun and, you know, they're into it. And then there's people that are, like, really into it. Like,
right,
you know.
Right.
So those gods are struggling, so they're not as powerful. But Easter's, like, doing good. She's, like, radiant. She lives in a mansion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the point I'm making is that media was reminding her, like, yo, because of me, we've made it a Hallmark holiday. You ain't fading from existence.
Mm-hmm.
You're still being worshipped, although not directly. So her problem was, and she was complaining to the God media, was because, yeah, but people really don't know it's for me, so it kind of bothers me. So even though I still get the benefit of it, I want them to blatantly basically say, hey, you're praising me. And that's the one part that's missing. All right?
That's it.
Yeah. So Ostara, right? Or Eostre. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Or East. It says Old English, Eastre. Eastre, Eastre. All right? So it's a Germanic goddess who, by the way of the Germanic month, bearing her name, is the namesake of the festival of Easter in some languages. Easter is attested solely by Bede in his 8th century work, The Reckoning of Time, where Bede states that during Eostromanap, which is the equivalent of April, pagan Anglo-Saxons had held feasts in Easter's honor, but that this tradition had died out by his time, replaced by the Christian Paschal month, a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. All right. Where's the thing where it talks about in the there's the scripture where it says in the process of time? On the holy custom. Yeah, 14:16. An ungodly custom.
I got it.
Because this is exactly what this is saying here, right?
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 16. Thus, in process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law.
So it says, in the process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law. Go ahead.
And graven images were worshipped by the commandments of kings.
Right. So I'll read this last part. It says this month, I can't pronounce the freaking thing right, the equivalent of April, pagan Anglo-Saxons had held feast in Easter's honor, but that this tradition had died out by his time, replaced by the Christian Paschal month, a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. So in the process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law. And this is what you have with Easter. And then it's not even celebrated right, because you have the ultra-Orthodox Christians that they go by the Julian calendar, which is the sun when it comes to Easter, and they celebrate it next Sunday, not this Sunday. That's why you have Eastern Orthodox Easter. And that's why they celebrate it differently, because they go by the Julian calendar. All right? So it's confusion is what it is, and it's not anything to do with Christ, because then who's right? Which one is right? Which is the right resurrection day?
Very good tactic, though, to put Jesus in it, to say that that's when he was resurrected, to deceive the masses of people. Because you can come to people with all these facts, and then they're going to say, well, no, it's about Christ, no matter what. Just like how they would openly say, no one knows when Christ was born, but we chose that day to celebrate his birth.
Right.
It's the same thing. People are simple. That's the devising of idols. That was the beginning of sin.
Yes, yes. So it tells you there are theories connecting Easter with records of Germanic Easter customs, including hares and eggs. And it also says Easter and Ostara are sometimes referenced in modern popular culture and are venerated in some forms of Germanic neo-paganism. All right. So, I don't need to go too heavy into that piece of it. I want to get back to the article here. And actually, they mentioned the Paschal month, so I want to go to, I think it's Acts 12 and 4. That's what mentions Easter in the Bible. And then, you know, Christians lose their mind. And, oh, see, it says Easter.
Right.
Well, it never says Christmas in the Bible. But you try to...
Or Lent. Or anything, any other...
Or Holy Week. Or Semana Santa. So read 12 and 4.
The book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quartinions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Now, Lord's will, I'm going to bring this out in class today, but there's a couple reasons how you know this is talking about Passover, all right? First off, the easy way is read verse 3.
Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I hate to do this, but when you go into, like, you know, the Hebrew, Easter, it's really referring to Pascal. Mm-hmm. That's the word that was there, but it was translated Easter in the KJV. When you understand what happened in Christ's time, right, let me start at verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. What does that sound like? That is the same thing that happened with Christ and Barabbas, all right? Because around that time, when you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all have a section of it. It's different mm-hmm. chapters. It talks about it was the custom, right, of Herod around the Passover to release one of the prisoners to them, mm-hmm. one of the Jews, okay? And at that time, it was basically about pleasing the people. So that's why they released a known murderer in Barabbas and not Christ at that time, because Pilate left it up to the people to decide. So he says this was the same thing that was happening at this time, but with Peter, because the disciples were being persecuted after Christ's death. And it says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. All right. So basically, after the Holy Passover day, it was still Passover week, but after the opening of it, he was going to bring him forth to the people. All right. So Easter there is not talking about your celebration of Easter of Christ rising from the grave. Okay.
Can I get a brief up real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is St. John 21, verse 18. This is Christ prophesying that Peter would be taken,
mm-hmm.
that we just read in Acts. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not.
And that's what it says when you read Acts 12 and 4, where it says they carried him away.
Right.
All right. So that means they arrested him. He was arrested. All right. So, yes, that was prophetic of that. Going on. And it was around the Passover. So what it's telling you is a lot of time had passed here. This is basically a year later when you read Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, Christ rose during the week of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because he kept the Passover meal. Again, it's outside the scope of me, because that's not really the topic of the show of when he rose. We're just trying to bring to light the pagan origins of Easter and the hypocrisy in it. And I got more that we're going to bring out and read about it. But Lord's will, some of the class today, if we have time, I get to go through all of it. I'm trying to do a condensed version of it. But Christ kept the Passover meal, right? And then he was killed. And they try to tell you that it's a custom that you can't stay you can't stay hung up on the Sabbath. We're going to go over that, too. It wasn't that. It's that you shouldn't keep a body out. You got to bury them right away was our custom. So they brought him down. We have like a whole visual calendar, and we're not saying that was the exact week that it happened, but mm-hmm. that's more or less how the timeline worked out. All right. So he basically he died on a Wednesday.
Right.
All right. And then when you start counting, he was taken down in the ninth hour of that day. All right. That's when he died. And the ninth hour, if you think about it, the first hour is what you would know today as 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The sixth hour is noon.
Romans times.
Yes. And then by what you would know as 3 p.m. today, he is when he gave up the ghost. All right. He gave up the ghost. He was taken down. That starts the first night, because you have to do it from the perspective and understanding of how us as Israelites, Hebrews, Jews, kept time. We did not keep time. And I have a great piece from a Jewish website that explains how relatively we're forced to live in the society that we live in,
mm-hmm.
and we have to acknowledge those times and those calendars. If we didn't, we'd never be to work on time. We'd never have any
right.
jobs. But no, my day starts at night, so you can't have my shift. That you know, you can't. It don't make no
right.
sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we to keep things the way the Bible says, we have to follow the new moon phases and the times that are commanded by the Lord. But then also, right, because the popular world and the world we live in order to function in the world, you have to follow the calendar that's there. The confusion is when you read the Bible and you try to ascribe the worldly times, the worldly calendar,
right,
to what you're reading in the scriptures. You have to understand this is a book for, by, all right, the Israelites, okay? It is for the Israelites. It is by the Israelites. It is about the Israelites, which means when it's talking in those terms, it's talking about the biblical understanding of times, hours, days, all right? So a day for Hebrews, okay, for Israelites, starts at dark, all right? Just like in the creation, even to even was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So the days are not these days that you have Christianity in your head based on the sun god, but it's based on the heritage of our people.
You know what's funny is that someone told me recently that doesn't make any sense that the dark would start the first day, even though I gave them Genesis, right? The mm-hmm. evening and the morning were the first day, so on and so forth. But then you take a step back and then you present them the question, well, okay, well, then if let's just say that that's not true, then why does society say that midnight starts the next day?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's still dark.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a cut.
That's a cut. Bombs.
Yeah, why does midnight start today? It's the middle
right.
of the night.
It's the same exact thing.
It's the middle of the night. Exactly.
But yet your whole life you've accepted that. But now because I'm telling you God says that the day starts at dark, and all of a sudden that there's a problem with
right.
it.
Right. Never had any questions. Didn't want to question the status quo.
Right. Exactly.
Now you're going to question it. That's a good point. So essentially, that Wednesday would have been one. Wednesday to Thursday is one day. Wednesday to Thursday night's one day.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night to Friday night's the second day. Friday night, Saturday night is the third day. And when you read, if you read in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John change it and it confuses people because it says dawn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that does confuse people.
It does confuse people. But Matthew, Mark, it tells you at the ending of the Sabbath. So you understand, right? That's when they showed up to the tomb and Christ was already gone, which mm-hmm. means he rose on the Sabbath day. That's why
right.
Christ is Lord of the Sabbath.
He let you know when he was going to rise.
He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. But they go ahead and they have this sunrise festival, this mm-hmm. sunrise church gathering, and they have him getting together Sunday morning. And they've taken this pagan custom. Because, listen, if you wanted to call it something else, then don't call it Easter, you know? I mean, just, you know, come up with something else rather than that. But anyway, let me read on a little bit more here. Let me see, where was I? And who's the, what is interesting to know here is that the ancient world, wherever you had popular resurrected Christianity and lots of converts, phases of the moon. Okay, Australia, I read that. Okay, here we go. So she's a great northern goddess whose symbol was a rabbit or hare. So Ostara, all right, because I could pronounce that better. She's also known as Ostara, all right, is a great northern goddess whose symbol was a rabbit or hare. So let's just say that you're saying, no, it's about Christ. Why are you doing Easter bunnies, buying mm-hmm. your kids peeps, all right, marshmallow peeps? All right.
Disgusting.
Although I used to love the Russell Stover eggs, bro. Those things are good as hell, bro. They're all the creamy, sugary stuff in the middle.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't stand peeps, but I used to be into that stuff. Easter baskets, dressing up, Easter dinner.
No, right.
And it's always ham. It's an Easter ham.
Easter ham, yep.
And it's an Easter ham.
They have the hot cross buns.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, here's the hot cross buns. That's what they have in the picture.
Yeah.
The
you know what? You know what? Can I get a scripture on that real
Go
quick?
Ahead, brother. Bring it up.
Give me Jeremiah 7 and 18.
There we go.
Jeremiah 7 and 18, because it's a tradition. A lot of people may not know what it is, the hot cross buns. In different countries, it's actually like a real common thing. It's not too typical here in America, but there is some people that do understand it. The hot cross buns are these dainties that are cooked up that are supposed to be eaten on so-called Good Friday. It's symbolic for Christ that cross was hung on. Give me that.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven.
So one of the other names for Ashtar or Ostara is the queen of heaven.
Right. Right.
So it says that the women need dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. That's exactly the origin of these hot cake or these hot cross buns.
Right. And you're in the spirit because this is the next part that we're going to go into. In the article, it talks about the cakes.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
All praise.
All right. So it says all the fun things about Easter are pagan. Bunnies are left over from the pagan festival of Ostara, a great northern goddess whose symbol was a rabbit or hare. Exchange of eggs is an ancient custom celebrated by many cultures. Hot cross buns are very ancient, too. Hmm. In the Old Testament, we see the Israelites baking sweet buns for an idol and religious leaders trying to put a stop to it. This is what we read in Jeremiah.
Right.
Okay. The early church clergy also tried to put a stop to sacred cakes being baked at Easter. In the end, in the face of defiant cake-baking pagan women, that's a mouthful. Wait a second. I got to say that again. In the end, in the face of defiant cake-baking pagan women.
Bombs.
Wait, I got to do it. All right. In the face of defiant cake-baking pagan women, they gave up and blessed the cake instead.
Man.
Damn, bro.
Just say that when you're angry. You know what? Hey, you know, woman, you were cake-baking.
So they went over eat the cake anime. They went over... They went straight to the clergy and were like, yo, we ain't going to stop it. You have to understand that this was actually a pattern, though, with the pagan culture of the times and the Christian church at that time.
No, you got to understand.
So they gave up a lot. And no, they right. said, you know what? Instead of fighting them and telling them to stop keeping these pagan things, let's adopt these pagan things and mix them in and we'll make it about right. Christ and, right. and the Bible.
Right. So then you put it and say it represents the cross that Christ was hung on.
Right.
Right. It's funny because you fast forward to today's times. It may sound simple and stupid that what do you mean they can't just give up baking cakes to a false god? Mm-hmm. But then you tell people give up birthdays or give up Christmas. And they're like, no, it shakes their tradition. They can't do it.
That's what it is. It's the tradition.
That's the whole thing we read in Wisdom of Solomon, as through time an ungodly custom grew strong and kept by law.
Right. Get Colossians. All right. Yeah, 2 and 8.
This is the one that I go to every time when someone says, well, how do I know it's pagan or not?
Colossians 2 and 8.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
All right. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits. All right. Meaning useless deceitfulness. Like there's no benefit to the deceit. You know, sometimes you do something deceitful to gain something or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Like it's telling you, like, it's vain deceit. Like it's worthless to keep these customs, these holidays.
Unbeneficial.
Like, yeah, there's nothing beneficial about it in any way except to continue a tradition of man.
Right.
All right? Go ahead, read on.
After the tradition of men.
After the people want to follow traditions more than they want to follow God.
Right.
And it's easier for them to stomach, and the Christian church leaders at the time knew this. They noticed to this day, which is why they would not upset the institution that it is and mm-hmm. change it. Many of them know the truth of it now. But they won't change it because they know they would lose all their followers, which would mean lose all their money.
That's right.
And then they would have nothing. They would lose their seat, just like the Pharisees were concerned about with Christ on the scene, mm-hmm. that they would lose their seat of authority. So it says, after the tradition of men. This is why they would marry these traditions. Okay. This is how Easter became associated. Okay. And celebrated the way it presently is. The hell does Easter bunnies and Easter baskets have to do? They'll go to the Sunrise Festival and then go freaking do the Easter basket, Easter bunny thing and eat the freaking ham afterwards.
And then tie it to Christ.
Right. And then tie it to Christ. Now, mind you, if they're not the Israelites, then they're doing what they should be doing.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
because Deuteronomy 4 tells you that those things were made for them. All right. But if you are of the seed of Abraham, all right, chances are
Isaac and Jacob.
Yeah, Isaac and Jacob. Right. There we go. Let's bring it all the way down. All right.
Right.
if you are what's known as a so-called Native, Native American, Indian, Latin American, Hispanic, you know, there's some of our people scattered in Spain. You know, we used to blanketly say, oh, you're from Spain, so no. But there's some of our people in Spain, black, African-American, just like, you know, the understanding wasn't there where we thought, oh, if you're Africa, that's it. But we understand right. that the deep history of our people in Africa means there's remnant there as well. All right. If you are of those peoples, then you are likely an Israelite. And I say likely because some people, the spirit got to bear witness. Right. So you got to see, because, you know, it's funny. You got all these detractors. I was having a conversation with my wife today. And she made a statement, and usually, like, you know, depending on what I'm thinking about, like, I kind of tune out a lot of what she says, unless we're engaged in a conversation. Let me put it that way. She was having a conversation with me. I was driving and thinking about, you know, what we're going to be going over. And, you know, she sees, like, some of the stuff that people write and how it doesn't make sense. You know, people who claim they were once with us and not. And she goes, maybe they're Esau.
Hmm.
Maybe they're Ham. Maybe they're of another nation. And I said, you know, that's possible. I stopped for a second and I was like, oh, you know, that's possible. I'm not going to run around and say that because maybe they're just 2/3.
Right.
Maybe it's not their time right now.
Right.
Right. It's not for us to know. I don't lose sleep over that stuff. But when you think about all the intermingling, hey, maybe they're not. Right.
Right.
So I'm careful when I say, you know, I'm not going to say that all are, because there's some that might not be. Right, things come out later, or they're not. It's not there. It's not in their spirit to keep the commandments or whatever it is. These laws won't sit well with you if you're
another nation.
If you're another nation, right? So it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy of vain deceit, after the tradition of men." Go ahead.
After the rudiments of the world.
It says, "After the rudiments of the world." And when we looked up the definition of rudiment last time, it tells you it says something that's not full, something incomplete. A part of a whole, which is why it's kind of right? Easter's known as Passover. They're kind of close or whatever, but that's a rudiment of the world. Those stupid cakes. It's really supposed to be unleavened bread. Talk about putting a custom in place to go against what the real tradition of that week is.
Right.
All right. And they go in and they're baking leavened cakes.
Defiant women.
Instead of what's the term? No. Cake baking. Oh wait, I gotta look at it.
Cake baking in the face of defiant cake baking pagan women.
Defiant cake baking pagan women. Bro, we gotta cut and paste that and save that, bro.
I need to
save that, bro.
It's that too, and then it ends Lent as well too. That's the other thing.
That's right.
They eat it to end Lent, which is not biblical. You
know? No, I know. I used to give up like candy on Lent or, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a Catholic.
You used to have to give something up or whatever. Man. I was never good at that shit.
You would just say your Hail Marys and just forgive me.
I'll say my Hail Marys and forgive me. You know, you want to talk you have our detractors that say that we're not about Christ, but how they're just so okay, especially Catholicism, though. They're just so okay with just saying, you're washed in the blood of Jesus. Say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers. And,
gosh.
You know, and they don't even tell you sin no more. Mm. They just tell you say the penance.
That was the main thing Christ would tell the people. Right. When they would come to him getting healing and asking for forgiveness, he would say, go and sin no more.
That was it.
Right. That's the forgiveness. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. But people just kind of, bro, it's so disrespectful. Like, every time you do that, it's like Christ suffering again, like being crucified again.
It is. I mean, that's what the book of Hebrews says.
Yeah.
It's like you're crucifying Christ afresh every time you willingly sin.
Right.
You know, I got to tell you, even like for our people that fall into sin like that, this is why you got to flee from it, man. You got to think about that thing, man. If you really got this love for Christ, you know, if nothing else stops you, knowing that it's a law and you shouldn't, knowing what the end result might be, knowing what it could lead to, knowing, you know, maybe you're concerned with the eyes of men and the embarrassment that might come, knowing all those things. You're crucifying Christ again when you do that. Bro, that's heavy, man. That's stuff that I don't think a lot of people really think about, man. Like, so when you decide to sin, because you decide.
Right, exactly. There it is.
When you decide to sin,
you put Christ back
to death on the cross.
not a you know what, we'll take him peacefully in his sleep, die of natural causes death.
No, read.
Right. He was brutally beaten to death and then hung on a cross.
Yes. Spit on, laughed at.
Beard pulled out. Whipped.
And we don't talk about Christ enough.
No, they said we don't talk about Christ enough. Now, it was, you know what it is, man? Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. The truth hurts.
That's what it is.
You know, all these people who profess that they were with us, and they never were, because if they were of us,
they
would have continued with us.
That's right.
All
right?
And by us, I don't mean IUIC. I would have mean they would have at least continued in the law, statutes, and commandments, and the faith of Christ as
right.
an Israelite.
That's the other thing, Cap, that's heavy they bring that out, because Christ even said as long as that he's preached, then they're not against
right.
us.
Right.
As long as the gospel's being preached, hey, go on, do your thing, that's fine. We're not saying you have to be here, but the message that is taught here, I subscribe to, is what woke my spirit up. So when it says that there's a house of gold, I see this as a house of gold, mm-hmm. right? But if you're somewhere under a different banner, but you're still preaching the gospel, like he said, as an Israelite, keeping the laws, hey, more power to you.
Hey, would to God more people were like that.
Right.
Because then more of us would get sealed. That 144,000 would be found sooner, and the kingdom of heaven on earth will come
right.
sooner. Right? Would to God there were more like that. See, that's the other thing too. You know, you got some brothers and sisters that envy, that covetous spirit. They want shine. They want their YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. They want to do their GoFundMe pages. Because mm-hmm. you know that's the next mm-hmm. thing that follows behind these people that leave us.
The money.
They start GoFundMe pages to. Whatever, to raise money for whatever their ministry is.
Right.
So in the same breath that they're talking about us, about, you know, being money hungry, which they know nothing of the inner workings of what we do, all right, the struggles that each of us have individually, okay, they'll go ahead and they'll start monetizing their YouTube page. You know, they're just trying to create an audience, right? It's like fame monsters,
right.
you know, attention whores. That's what you got. But you have to understand something. For the brothers and sisters that are with us, because it brings out a good point in my mind, don't worry about getting shine. Like, you shouldn't have that envy, that jealousy spirit if somebody's a teacher, somebody's on a show. Everybody should have a show. Everybody should be out teaching. Yeah, the efforts that's multiplied when that happens. But do you know how every Sabbath morning, obviously weather permitting, how many people are being edified? Just by IUIC?
That's crazy. That is.
When you extrapolate that over the whole world,
mm-hmm.
the commandment keeping, Sabbath observing brothers and sisters that go out and feed the people, multiply that. Bro, people want to know what the secret sauce is. It's doing God's laws, statutes, and commandments.
That's it.
The effort is there. Multiply that. Camps in so many cities, countries, going out. On the Sabbath morning, that's a multiplication effect. That's Christ being preached, magnified.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Christ not being preached. Hey, I'm telling you, it's jealousy. It's envy. It's hatred. Okay? Anyway, let's get back onto this. So, reverse Colossians 2, verse 8.
Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
And it's not after Christ. Easter is not after Christ. It's a rudiment. It's something that's incomplete, not full. It's not proper understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking defiant cake baking pagan women. Easter is essentially a pagan festival which is celebrated with cards, gifts, and novelty Easter products because it's fun and the ancient symbolism still works. It's always struck me that the power of nature and the longer days are often most felt in modern towns and cities, where we set off to work without putting on our car headlights and when our alarm clock goes off in the mornings. The streetlights outside are not still on because of the darkness. What better way to celebrate than to bite the head off the bunny goddess, go to a sunrise service, get yourself a sticky-footed fluffy chick, and stick it on your TV, whilst helping yourself to a hefty slice of pagan Seminole cake. Happy Easter, everyone. Hey, that's why I needed to start with that one, boy. She killed it on that last part. She killed it on that last part, bro.
I knew it was gonna be good as soon as she started with that Easter was pagan. I was like, okay, this is gonna be
bro,
good.
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm saving this. I'm gonna read this article every year around Easter, all right? is that thing is hard body right there. All right. Let me I got another one. You know what? Hold on. Which one is better? This one is long. No, is this the long one? Yeah, this one's kind of long. Okay, no, you know what? I'll read a little bit of it. You're gonna say it's gonna sound like the same themes a lot, but you gotta understand, man. We gotta stay banging on Easter.
Gotta stay banging on it, and then see that it comes from multiple sources. That it's out there.
Okay, so this is a website called AncientOrigins.net, which actually has a lot of good information. So mm-hmm. if you guys want to put this down as a reference, it's pretty good. All right, and it's their slogan, their motto is reconstructing the story of humanity's past. So I mean, I haven't read a lot of the other articles, but if they if this one's any indication, then they banging on everything like correctly, it seems. So. So it says, Easter Sunday is a festival and holiday celebrated by millions of people around the world who honor the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, described in the New Testament as having occurred 3 days after his crucifixion at Calvary. But again, if you go by their times, right, they say he died on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning he was up.
It's a day and a half.
Yeah, that's what Good Friday is. Good Friday is the day he was crucified, supposedly, mm-hmm. right? You have Holy Thursday, Good Friday, right? Don't eat meat on Friday.
Right. We can eat fish.
Fish.
Right, you can eat fish.
Fish only. Well, geez, man, I had half of a New York strip and a half of a filet mignon last night that I grilled before it got dark on my wood pellet grill.
Yeah, you just went into the into the fast with just red meat, huh?
Yeah,
just,
man, with some lawful loaded mashed potatoes.
There you go.
They make turkey bacon bits now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. So I did some cheese, sour cream in the mash with the turkey bacon and some cabbage and peppers and onions. I went in on my. I was like.
Oh, man.
That's how I went into my fast. It is also the day that the children excitedly wait for the Easter Bunny to arrive and deliver their treats of chocolate eggs. Easter is a movable feast, which is chosen to correspond with the first Sunday following the full moon after the March equinox. So this is how they count it, right? It's a movable feast, which most of them based on the moon are, right? Which is chosen to correspond. But here's the thing. It's a movable feast, but they choose it to correspond with the first Sunday following the full moon after the March equinox. And because that full moon after the March equinox moves, they just designate just like Thanksgiving's not the same day. The only day that stays the same is Christmas. They'll say it has to be the 25th. All right. So it says with the first Sunday following the full moon after the March equinox. You know what's funny? If they're celebrating Christ's resurrection, right? They're so adamant about celebrating his birthday on the 25th. That's not even the exact Sunday. If you do believe that it's Sunday that he rose, that's not even the exact Sunday that he rose.
There it is.
Rudiments.
There it is.
and occurs on different dates around the world since Western churches use the Gregorian calendar while Eastern churches use the Julian calendar. So that's why you have Eastern Orthodox. And they teach it, and Easter for them is next Sunday, I believe. So where did this movable feast begin, and what are the origins of the traditions and customs celebrated on this important day around the world? Most historians, including biblical scholars, agree that Easter was originally a pagan festival. So don't try to come with your nonsense that it's not pagan, all right? According to the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, it says the word Easter is of Saxon origin, right? Astara, or Aostre, right? Istra, the goddess of spring, in whose honor sacrifices were offered about Passover time each year. By the 8th century, Anglo-Saxons had adopted the name to designate the celebration of Christ's resurrection. They adopted it. Rudiments. Not after Christ. However, even among those who maintain that Easter has pagan roots, there is some disagreement over which pagan tradition the festival emerged from. Here we'll explore some of those perspectives. So it's the same confusion you have with Christmas, that it's a mishmash, all right? There's people who it comes in, it's a mishmash of different festivals.
Mm-hmm.
same thing happens with this, because they're trying to take the paganism of the time, those cake baking defiant pagan
women.
Cake baking defiant pagan women. And they're trying to appease that vibe from them. All right. So it says resurrection as a symbol of rebirth. One theory that has been put forward is that the Easter story of crucifixion and resurrection is symbolic of rebirth and renewal, and retells the cycle of the seasons, the death and return of the sun. The death and return, and I don't mean the sun, S-O-N.
Right.
I'm talking about the sun, the hot ball of fire in the sky. All right. According to some scholars, such as Dr. Tony Nugent, teacher of theology and religious studies at Seattle University and Presbyterian minister, there's a lot of titles. The Easter story comes from the Sumerian legend of Dumuzi, Tammuz, and his wife Inanna, Ishtar, an epic myth called the Descent of Inanna, found inscribed on cuneiform clay tablets dating back to 2100 BC. When Tammuz dies, Ishtar is grief-stricken and follows him to the underworld. In the underworld, she enters through seven gates, and her worldly attire is removed. Naked and bowed low, she is judged, killed, and then hung on display. In her absence, the earth loses its fertility. Crops cease to grow, and animals stop reproducing. Unless something is done, all life on earth will end. That's how they ended season one of American Gods, after Ostara was revealed. He said, yo, you have power. You're holding your power back. This was Odin. Because Odin is in Norse culture is known as the All Father, so he's like the father of all gods, similar to Zeus and everything else. There's all carryover, and basically he's like, yo, the fact that people are worshiping you, even though they know it's not you, he goes, you still have power. So she like blights the earth or whatever, maybe the town that she's in. Mm-hmm. So you see all the crops die, the lambs start dying, everything. So she blights the earth, and they're like, until people acknowledge and worship you directly, you're not gonna make this fertile again.
Right.
So unless something is done, all life on earth will end. After Inanna has been missing for 3 days, her assistant goes to other gods for help. Finally, one of them, Enki, creates two creatures who carry the plants of life and water of life down to the underworld, sprinkling them on Inanna and Dumuzi, resurrecting them and giving them the power to return to the earth as the light of the sun for 6 months. After the 6 months are up, Tammuz returns to the underworld of the dead, remaining there for another 6 months, and Ishtar pursues him, prompting the water god to rescue them both. Thus were the cycles of winter, death, and spring life. So Easter, this is that whole sun thing in the morning. It's a celebration of these things. Dr. Nugent is quick to point out that drawing parallels between the story of Jesus and the epic of Inanna doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't a real person, Jesus, who was crucified, but rather that if there was, the story about it is structured and embellished in accordance with a pattern that was very ancient and widespread. The Sumerian goddess Inanna is known outside of Mesopotamia by her Babylonian name Ishtar. In ancient Canaan, Ishtar is known as Astarte, and her counterparts in the Greek and Roman pantheons are known as Aphrodite and Venus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the 4th century, when Christians identified the exact site in Jerusalem where the empty tomb of Jesus had been located, they selected the spot where a temple of Aphrodite, Astarte, Ishtar, Inanna stood. The temple was torn down and the soul Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built, the holiest church in the Christian world. So they even built the church on top of the pagan site. Dr. Nugent points out that the story of Inanna and Dumuzi is just one of a number of accounts of dying and rising gods that represent the cycle of the seasons and the stars. For example, the resurrection of Egyptian Horus, the story of Mithras, who was worshipped at springtime, and the tale of Dionysus, resurrected by his grandmother. Among these stories are prevailing themes of fertility, conception, renewal, descent into darkness, and the triumph of light over darkness or good over evil. Let me see what else we got here. I want to try to skim through some of the rest of this. Okay, so here's a related perspective. Rather than being a representative of the story of Ishtar, Easter was originally a celebration of Astarte, goddess of spring, otherwise known as Ostara, Astra, or Easter, which we read about briefly. One of the most revered aspects of Ostara for both ancient and modern observers is a spirit of renewal. Celebrated at spring equinox on March 21st, Ostara marks the day when light is equal to darkness and will continue to grow. As the bringer of light after a long, dark winter, the goddess was often depicted with the hair, an animal that represents the arrival of spring as well as the fertility of the season. So clearly the Easter Bunny comes from Ostara.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That part is very clear. But it's a mishmash of what you got from Tammuz. It's ancient Babylonian. All right. It's ancient Sumerian customs. It says, Ostara, Easter seems therefore to have been the divinity of the radiant dawn, of upspringing light, a spectacle that brings joy and blessing, whose meaning could be easily adapted by the resurrection day of the Christian's God. Because it's the same type of meaning with the cake, cake baking defying pagan women. Most analyses of the origin of the word Easter maintain that it was named after a goddess mentioned by the 7th to 8th century English monk Bede, who wrote that Easter Monop, Old English month of Istror, translated in Bede as Paschal month, was an English month corresponding to April, which he says was once called after a goddess of their name Easter, in whose honor feasts were celebrated that month. So here we go into the origin of Easter customs. The most widely practiced customs on Easter Sunday related to the symbol of the rabbit, Easter bunny, and the egg. As outlined previously, the rabbit was a symbol associated with Ostara, representing the beginning of springtime. Likewise, the egg has come to represent spring, fertility, and renewal. In Germanic mythology, it is said that Ostara healed a wounded bird she found in the woods by changing it into a hare. Still partially a bird, the hare showed its gratitude to the goddess by laying eggs as gifts.
Oh wow!
So that's how wow. we get. I never knew that. That's how we get the origin of how rabbits lay eggs.
Wow.
The Encyclopedia Britannica clearly explains the pagan tradition associated with the egg. You know, as I'm reading all this, I gotta stop for a second because it's like my mind is like convoluted mess of rudiments of worldly traditions of men,
of philosophies,
and vain deceits. Versus the simplicity that's in Christ.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was just gonna touch on that. Thank you.
The simplicity that's in Christ, it's not this complicated. It doesn't have to be. There's not a million days. Like, it's so clear. Like, you want to talk about the easiest contract, because that's one thing Christianity will tell you. We have a covenant relationship with the Lord. But then they contradict that covenant relationship by saying the covenant is just love Jesus.
Right.
The simplicity that's in Christ is, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
That's right. I was just going to say that out of everything we're reading, because there's so many origins and names and things like that, it all comes down to one thing, that it's all not of Christ. It's fake. It's right. pagan. And that the Bible says, fear God and keep the commandments. That's it.
Keep the Passover.
It's the simplicity in Christ, just like Captain just said. It's very simple.
Get me John 14:15, because I want to read it.
The book of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
It's as simple as that. It doesn't get harder than that. Where's the other one? Ye are my friends if ye... is it John 15? 14. John 15, 14.
Yep. St. John chapter 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
It's simple. The covenant is simple. All right? It's the most simplest thing that you could do. Read verse 16.
Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you.
You don't choose to be a born-again Christian. That's not your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Christ calls you. All right. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Ordained you to do what? Go ahead.
That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
So what's fruit? What is he talking about? All right. Get me Galatians 5. And all of this still goes back to the laws. All right. These are this was Paul just trying to simplify what this is. Let's see. Start at 22.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
So what fruit is talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. So a lot of people like to say this. They see that's not commandments when it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, whatever. It says fruit of the Spirit. All right? So get Acts 7 and understand what it's talking about when it talks about the Holy Spirit. And then after that, I want John 6 and 63. So get Acts 7 and... 51. Yeah, start at 51.
The book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye.
You resist the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, some people, you have some people who say, oh, that's not talking about the law. Listen, Christ said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Meaning, you cannot fight that. So how can you resist the Holy Ghost if it's the spiritual thing that just comes on you and you have no control of?
Right.
Dummy. Simple as hell. Jump to verse 53.
Verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it.
It's talking about the law. The fruits of the Spirit is dealing with the law. All right? Get John 6 and 63. But before you get that, read John 14, 15 again.
The book of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now read John 6 and 63.
John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
They are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, his commandments. Give me Matthew 5. Because you're going to have some people that say, no, his commandment was just love one another. All right? Give me 5:17. I want 17 all the way through 20.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
He is not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He's not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fulfill what? That he should die as the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross and be risen again. But he also has to come back one more time to redeem his people, to restore the kingdom. All right? That hasn't happened yet. So the law is not done away with. Read.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle.
A jot or a tittle are the smallest of things. I got to look up the definition because, you know, sometimes you got to look at these things, man, so that people get them.
And then while you get that, I'm going to get the precept for fulfill. Acts chapter 3 and verse 8.
18.
Verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled.
Right. That Christ should suffer. That's what's been fulfilled. So the law has not been fulfilled. All right. So it says the least part of something, a little bit. That's a jot. All right. So it says not even a little bit of the law. Hold on. Let me get tittle. A dot or other small mark in writing or printing. A very small part of quantity. Also known as a jot. All right. So it says, now we go back, verse 18. He says, actually, start 17 again.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
To fulfill his suffering by suffering what he did, his beard being pulled out, spit on, whipped, okay, crucified, that he should suffer. Go ahead.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass.
Till heaven and earth pass. So let's not even talk about the whole fulfilling everything. But heaven and earth are still here. It says till heaven and earth pass.
One jot.
Or, not even a little bit.
Or one tittle.
The smallest part.
Shall in no wise pass from the law. Till all be fulfilled.
Till all be fulfilled. Till all of it be fulfilled. All right, read on.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Now some people say, okay, that means I can still get in if I break the least. Read verse 20.
For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees.
Everybody in Christianity likes to talk so much about the Pharisees, right? Like they know so much. It says your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It says exceed That means they kept what you call the old covenant. Mm-hmm. All right? It says you got to do better than even them. And what he really means is they didn't have the love your neighbor as yourself part then.
Right.
So you built your whole Christianity off of that all you got to do is love and forget the other part.
Right.
But Christ's own word says that you have to exceed. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I've yet heard an argument from any supposed learned person that can explain this away.
Nope.
It says it has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What's the reward if it doesn't?
Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
You will not get into the kingdom of heaven, which means that's what you're going to get. John 14:15 again, because the relationship with Christ is simple. The simplicity that is in Christ.
The book of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. Which? All of them. That's what he tells you. And the scripture is very clear on which ones you don't anymore. It goes very heavy in the New Testament into not having to keep the law of sacrifice anymore, because that's what Christ fulfilled. All right?
And that is it.
That is it. That is it.
It's that simple. Christ dying doesn't make pork clean to eat, all right? Having an Easter ham. Christ dying doesn't mean that we can go into idolatry and worship bunnies and false goddesses, Ishtar and so on and so forth.
And then profess to do it in his name, which is worse.
Right, exactly.
And if committing sin, which idolatry is crucifying again him again, mm-hmm. you guys do it on a magnitude that is ridiculous. That, I mean, every Easter,
right?
What you're celebrating, and then you do it and you profess to do it in his name?
The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
That's exactly what's being done.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it is. Some people say it's saying, you know, Jesus,
right.
or, you know, oh, Christ. That's not what that means.
Nope. That's not what it means. It's when you follow these pagan customs, all right, these pagan customs, and tie the Lord's name to it in lies. That's what it is. Christ never ordained to go chase after bunnies and find Easter eggs.
Right, right. Get me 2 Corinthians 11. Let's start at 1.
Damn, I'm in spirit. Turn right to it. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me.
Right, because sometimes people, I mean, when you read 1 Corinthians 1:19, it talks about that, you know, 19 down, that, you know, the Lord chose the base things, the foolish things, to confound the wise, right? So, to some people, it sounds like folly when they hear us. Oh, we're racist, hateful, cold people, whatever you want to say, right? Listen, I would suggest that you would bear with me in my folly just for a little bit, all right? Read.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
We're not trying to rule over people. We just understand the end. Paul said he wished that he could be afflicted for his people's sake,
mm-hmm.
because he knew what our end would be. He saw the times that we would be living in. Transgender nonsense, the homosexuality, the degree, the mm-hmm. confusion of faces of our people. You think it was bad for them then? He knew what was to come now,
right.
and the things that we're going through now. And he said, I wish that I could be accursed for my people's sake. Mm-hmm. But he understood, listen, I can't take that burden on me. Y'all have to go through that. You got to take them hard knocks, right? He says, but I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, not a worldly carnal jealousy. Go ahead.
For I have espoused you to one husband.
Because there's one proper understanding. And if you know that and you care, right, you're going to be, it's almost like it's frustrating when people don't see it, especially those that you care about.
Right.
So he says, listen, I've espoused you to one husband, which is Christ. Go ahead.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Not defiled with these other things. This is why we're so adamant that when you come in here, yes, what we can monitor and control, because every house has rules.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right? You come to my house, and if I got a shoe rule, you got to follow that shoe rule. If I tell you don't, you know, make sure you flush twice, that's the rule when you're in my house. The movie theater has rules.
Mm-hmm.
The airport has rules.
Right.
But nobody has a problem with that. You in your own house have certain rules, things you want touched and not touched,
right.
things you want to be done a certain way. But then you're going to complain when you come into our house and we have rules.
And now it's a cult after that.
Hey, God has a shoe rule.
God has a shoe rule. Keep right. thy foot.
He said, keep thy foot when you come into the house of right. God.
Right.
That's you not bringing in the rudiments and
right.
philosophies and the vain deceits of the world.
Every house has rules. So does God's. He says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, not defiled, not polluted, not deceived by the philosophies of men, the traditions of men, mm-hmm. by vain deceit, by the rudiments, and not after Christ. Read.
But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve.
You know what by any means is? All right? As the serpent beguiled Eve, Easter, mm-hmm. Christmas, all right? I don't have to keep laws. You don't have to keep any of these laws. If people tell you to do those things, you're a cult. Your love in Christ, your abundance in Christ is not being met. Blah,
saved,
blah, blah.
Saved by grace and walk in faith.
Saved by grace, walk in faith. That's any means. That's the same way that the serpent beguiled Eve. Go ahead.
Through his subtlety.
Through his subtlety. It's subtle. They try to frame it in a way so that it looks like, oh, that's a cult. Oh, they want you to keep the laws. They want you to do what God says. And they're going to attempt to enforce it when you're around them. Because we can't enforce it when they're not with us.
Right, exactly.
But if we see you, we're going to say something. That's Leviticus 5 and 1. That's Leviticus 19 and 17.
Right, right.
Because loving your neighbor as yourself, that's where you find it. Leviticus 19 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you what it is. And it says not suffer sin upon them.
That's the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5.
That's the first fruit of the Spirit. All right? That's what love is. Then the other parts of love come into play. Then we can say, just like Christ said, hey, you know what? I am going to roll like Christ rolled. Ye are my friends if ye do my commandments. If you do the Lord's will, then you are my friend. Other than that, you are not. Because I ain't going to let you pull me down in that.
That's what it is. And friend is a heavy, heavy word in itself.
Right.
You know, people get upset when they throw the word friend and I say, you're not my friend. And I don't mean it to be in a rude way, but I mean, I keep my circle small because Christ kept his small.
Right.
And friends come with a condition. Exactly, with a condition. And the condition is you got to be keeping the commandments to be my friend.
Everything's a conditional relationship.
It's a
covenant relationship. That's the term that they use in Christianity. We have a covenant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's a requirement of us. And the love is defined. It's defined in John 14 and 15.
And it's clear as water.
Bro.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
That's it. Read verse 3 again.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
By any means, your mind get. That's why he feared it, because he knew. He saw what was going to happen in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you that he realized that we would have less sense today than we did back then. And mind you, there was Baal, there was Moloch, all those other things that they were worshiping, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, all that stuff. But he said, man, he goes, my fear is that by the subtlety, the same subtlety that the serpent used to beguile Eve, which is Colossians 2 and 8,
mm-hmm.
all right, by that subtlety, okay, by those traditions of men, by those rudiments, because it'll sound Christ-like. That's why you have to understand the definition of rudiments being a piece of, incomplete. It'll sound and they'll mix it and make it and say, hey, Easter's not about those things that those brothers brought out today. Easter's not about that at all. Easter's about the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so, I don't know if it's lazy. I don't know if it's a desire to just not really want to know for yourself.
That's Hosea 4 and 6.
Read. If you read and you really break it down, you'll see that what they're saying doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
What they're preaching doesn't make sense. And this is why it says the foolish things, the base things, is going to take down that worldly wisdom. And it's going to bring you the true spiritual wisdom, all right, which can't be passed. And it says these other things, Easter, stuff like that, it corrupts you from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is simple. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Get me 1 John 2. I'm going to give you some other simple ways to follow after Christ. Get me four. I'm sorry, 1 John. Yeah, 1 John 2 and 4.
The book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 4.
Start at 3.
Verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments.
You know, I used to see those ads where it says, no Jesus, right? It'll say no Jesus, N-O-W-O, or no and no Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So like no Jesus, no Jesus, right? It says, hey, if you know him, you keep his commandments. Read on.
Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Clear as water.
Clear as water. There it
Clear
is.
Clear as water. The simplicity that is in Christ. If you say you know him and you keep not his commandments, you're a liar. You are all a bunch of liars and you have no truth in you. Read on.
Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
That's where the love of God is perfected. He's giving you the fundamentals of how to love.
There it is. Like you said, clear as water. And we ain't talking about that Flint, Michigan water. We're talking about that Fiji Island.
Right.
You know, water.
You know, yeah, yeah. Some Avion. That's all right.
He gets you to the depths
right.
of the ocean.
He says, if you keep his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Go ahead.
Hereby know we that we know him.
Go ahead.
He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
Christ never ordained an Easter celebration amongst all the others.
Right.
He never ordained or never kept. So you can say, well, how could he keep if it's about him? There is no writing. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 says, be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ.
Right.
So Paul continued on that legacy in the spirit of Christ with whatever message Christ wanted to send out after his death via Paul. And nowhere does Paul say celebrate Easter.
This is Leviticus 23, verse 2. It says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And when you read the rest of the chapter, he goes into Passover and tabernacles and feasts of first fruits, and which in the New Testament is called Pentecost.
Right.
Right. These things are celebrated in the New Testament. But guess what? He never once ordains Easter here in Leviticus 23. Never.
Never.
Ever.
Never. And neither did Christ or Paul in the New Testament. Actually, there was no new feast ordained in the New Testament.
Not a one.
Any celebration. The last ordained celebration was in... it breaks it down in Maccabees about the Feast of Dedication.
But even then, you could read about that in the Old Testament.
You read about it in the Old Testament.
Right.
Yep.
That was the last one that was ordained through the Spirit of the Lord. Even Christ kept that one in the New Testament.
Well, no. And if you really think about it, right, you have the ones that came later were what? Day of Simon, Nicanor, Purim. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Even though those were ordained, they weren't professed to be Sabbaths.
Right.
They were just to observe them.
Days of remembrance.
Days of remembrance. Right. But the last one that had any type of Sabbath connotation, all right, was Feast of Dedication that you read about as far as chronologically what's ordained. All right. So no Easter came after that. No Christmas came after that. It says, so when it talks about how Christ walked, it says, if you abide in him, also walk as he walked. Read verse 7.
Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you.
I'm not telling you anything new. This is nothing new. Nothing's changed. Go ahead.
But an old commandment, which he had from the beginning.
You had this from the beginning. Go ahead.
The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. John 6 and 63. All right?
That's a cut.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. The Easter thing is interesting when you read its pagan roots. I don't know. I feel like there's more information about Easter being pagan than there is even Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And yet people still blindly celebrate that Easter nonsense. I got to tell you, that was one I never really jived with too much. I hated it. I hated dressing up. I hated we would go to the park, freaking dressed up. And never any understanding why. Yeah, it was hot.
Just
in my little freaking suit.
Just all kind
of, ugh, God. Yeah, bro. In a suit, slippery shoes, trying to climb in the playground. The worst. Anyway, that was this week's episode of the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Support us, like, share, okay? spread the word, all right? If it be the Lord's will, we'll see what comes next week, but we'll jump into another denomination and break it down. I might be inspired to do Jehovah Witness. I saw that Al Punto, our Spanish show on Thursdays, was going into that a little bit. So I know I have a resource for that. Maybe we could get Officer Abiel on, man. He has good information on that. So anyway, this is Captain Yashua, along with Officer Mariah, Soldiers of Chaos, signing off. All right, with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.